Welcome to our service at Christian Life Community Church. And this morning we have been singing about God's love. And everyone that's here just heard Marty was sharing very similar to what I'm about to share. So we're on the same wavelength, Marty, with what God is doing. So all of you would have received a Valentine from me this morning. And for those of you on live, it has our four main points for today. God has been speaking to me in my personal walk with him about living from my heart. And you know, we hear people say that, and I thought I was living from my heart, but he was showing me some things about what that really means in a practical sense. So I'm just going to share with you today some things he showed me. So on our heart, we have live from the heart, and the four points today spell out L-I-V-E for live, so it's easy for you to remember. So I'm just going to read them all right now, and then we'll go through them one at a time. First one says, look honestly at myself. I identify who I really am. V, vow to stay open. And E, engage my will to follow. So we're going to talk about those this morning. These are all based off of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And most of you know that scripture. If you know it, you can say it with me. Most of us probably have it memorized. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So this morning, the four points go along with the four parts of that scripture. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart. So we're going to look honestly at ourselves, meaning what do I really believe? Not what do I know to be true because everybody says it's true, but what in my heart do I really believe? Not what should I believe, what do I truly believe? So, you know, what do I feel angry about? What am I sad about right now? Being honest with ourselves and with God. Awareness of our thoughts and beliefs, even if I know it's not God's truth, is the first step to being able to receive his love. Because if we're not honest with ourselves and with God, we're pretending, right? We're not being the real us. God wants us to be real with him and let down our facade and just say, Lord, I am struggling with da-da-da right now. Or I believe this and I know it's not true, Lord. And I'm acknowledging I know it's not true, but I'm admitting it's there. And just exposing those lies. Or good truths. You know, hey, I believe this and I'm going to stand on this, right? How many of you know we cannot force ourselves to believe the truth? As much as we want to, we know this is truth and this is a lie. We can't, you know, beat ourselves into believing it as much as we would like to, right? And sometimes when we try to do that, we're not loving ourselves. That's not love. That's not really living from our heart. That's us being upset at ourselves for not falling into line. That's not what God wants us to do. And Marty used this verse this morning that love covers those things, right? When we do that, we're hurting ourselves. We're trying to force ourselves into something. Love is the only thing that can dismantle fear. Perfect love does what to fear? Casts it out, right? Right? It doesn't say, work really hard and cast that fear out. You know, it says, love comes in and it casts out the fear. So we can embody what we know deep down is true, even if we don't feel like we're believing it honestly in our hearts yet, by treating ourselves like it is true. So we can act like we're at our place of freedom already. So like for an example, let's say I'm having trouble believing that I am worthy of this new job that I want, okay? And so if I go to the interview acting like I'm unworthy and I know I'm unworthy, am I going to get the job? No. But that's how we walk through life sometimes. We convey, I'm not worthy, to everybody else and to ourselves. And then it becomes true, doesn't it? It's called a self-fulfilling prophecy because we believe it's true. Our minds look for evidence that it's true. And so we interpret everything from those lenses, right? How many of you know, we see things from a certain perspective, that doesn't make it true. It just means that's my view of things and I want it to change. So if we want to do that, we have to remind ourselves and take care of ourselves in such a way that we are acting that out. So if I know I'm struggling with this thought of being unworthy, I need to fake it till I make it true, right? So I'll say, you know what? That is not true. I am worthy. I'm going to carry myself like I'm worthy. I'm going to act like I'm worthy. I'm acting that way, even if I don't believe it yet, right? So we can walk in truth even if we don't feel like we're fully there and able to honestly say we believe that yet. And that's how we train our brain to look then for proof of the truth. So instead of looking for, you know, this person treated me this way, I was right, I'm not worthy. We can say, you know what? I'm going to look for things throughout my day that prove that I am worthy. And then our brain starts to retrain itself. Isn't that awesome that God created us to retrain our brains? He says, renew your mind. He tells us in the scripture to do that. We don't have to keep believing those old things. I mean, it's awesome, the science of our brain, that God created us that way. So the question that we ask ourselves in God's presence is, what do I truly believe from my core about myself and about God? A good example of living in faith or acting like it's true if it's not yet is Abraham. In Romans 4:17, it talks about, you know, Paul's reminding everybody about Abraham. It says, God called him the father of nations. And how many kids did he have at that time?
None.
None. But God called him the father of nations, and so he started living like that was going to happen, like that was his truth. And in Romans it says, I made you, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who he believed, that is God, so Abraham believed God, God gave life to the dead, and he calls into being things that are not yet. Isn't that awesome? Our God calls into being things that are not yet. So if he says to you, you are worthy of my love, if we don't believe it, it doesn't mean it's not true. And we can get to that place where, you know what? I will eventually get to that freedom, but I'm going to act like I'm free right now. So we can call into being, into our own lives, his truth. So that was letter L. All right, so we had look honestly at myself. I identify who I really am. So I had a video to show, but we can't show it right now because of our internet capacity here. But I'm just going to tell you what it is. Have any of you seen the movie? It's a kids' Disney movie of Moana. Okay, two people. So I'll have to explain the scene. I wish I could show it to you. But I was watching it with my daughters, and during this scene, I just started weeping, you know, like trying not to show them that I'm crying because I didn't want to explain myself. But there's a scene where there's a lava monster, and it's coming after Moana. It's screeching, and it's really huge and scary, and it's on fire. And all of a sudden, Moana realizes that this creature is not what it appears to be. And so she sings this song, and it says, I have crossed the horizon to find you. I know your name. They have stolen the heart from inside you, but this does not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are, who you truly are. And when she sings this song to the lava monster just like shuts down and gets quiet, and then Moana has this stone that was like her heart. And when she puts her heart back in, the lava monster's like heart exterior breaks off, and you see that it was this life-filled thing that, you know, This is not a Christian movie, obviously. But when she puts her hand down, things grow and, like, she creates life. So, like, everything was dead, and then now that this person is living, you know, in their power and knows who they are again, and they're not this lava monster anymore, they're creating life everywhere. And the Lord just spoke to me personally during that scene. And, you know, sometimes we don't like how we're acting. We don't like how we're living. We don't like how we're thinking. But that's not who we really are. That's not who God made us to be. And those little choices don't have to define us and who we are. We made a choice. It's done. That's in our past. God asks us to move forward and to move on. And so we need to get to the place where we define who we are, not our choices. And so we can say, you know what? This is not the true me. Like, for example, when I'm getting angry at my kids, I'm like, okay, this is not who I really am. I do not have to make this choice right now. I am, and then we proclaim over ourselves, I am calm. I am, you know, peaceful, and proclaim the truth over ourselves. And then we have to look at our behavior and say, does this line up with the true me, who God made me to be? And I want to just read you a scripture. This is Romans 7, and this is the Passion Translation, which I'm enjoying. My mom just gave this Bible to me recently, and I love how it words things. So I'm going to read Romans 7, 15 through 20. It says, I'm a mystery to myself. This is Paul talking. I want to do what's right, but end up doing what my moral instincts condemn. If my behavior is not in line with my desire, my conscience still confirms the excellence of the law, and now I realize it's no longer my true self doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin in my humanity. For I know nothing good lives within the flesh of my fallen humanity. The longing to do what's right are within me, but willpower is not enough to accomplish it. How many know that's true? We only have so much willpower, and then we're out of willpower, and it's over. Verse 19, my lofty desires to do what is good are dashed when I do the things I want to avoid. If my behavior contradicts my desires to do good, I have to conclude it's not my true identity doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin hindering me from being who I really am. Isn't that powerful? Like, yes, Lord, this is not me. You created me perfect. Song of Songs 4:7 says this scripture, and I wrote this down for myself because I have to remind myself. You are altogether beautiful. There is no flaw in you. There is nothing broken about us. Just because we act a way we don't want to act doesn't mean there's something wrong with me and I'm broken. It says in the Bible we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. If we're saying to ourselves there's something wrong with us, does that make our painter happy about what he made? You know, I mean, we're insulting his work when we say that. When we say, oh, I don't like who I am. I don't love myself. It makes God sad because he thinks what he made when he made you was beautiful and perfect. That's what he says in the Bible. And in Psalm 139, it says he created us in our inmost being. He created the true me. He knit us together in our mother's womb. And then the psalmist says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So I want you all to say, I'm wonderful. Like you really mean it. I am wonderful. That's what God says about all of us. He loves us. That's right. Okay. Skip down here on my notes. Okay. So here we have identify who I really am. So we're going to reject all the things that we see that don't line up with who God made us to be. And say, you know what? That is not me, and I don't have to live that way anymore. We can separate ourselves from the lies. How many of you know sometimes when we hear a thought over and over and over, we think, oh, you know, that's me talking. But sometimes it's just a pattern that our brain has started, because at some point we agreed with a lie, and then, like I said, we look for evidence and we see it all around us and we've taken it in like it's part of ourselves, but it's not. That's something we can get rid of, right? Our core is still there that God made. It's perfect. So when you hear those things, you can say, you know what? That is not me. That is not who I am anymore. And separate ourselves from those things. And observing our thoughts instead of connecting an emotion to them. Because how many of you know emotions are powerful, right? Our emotions can drag us all over the place. Or our emotions can keep us grounded. We're determined or whatever. And so I want to encourage you, when you see a thought come up that's ugly and that you don't like, don't give it any emotions. Don't get mad at it. Don't feel guilty about it. Say, oh, I'm observing this thought. That is not me, and I'm giving it to you, Lord. And just, you know, ask him to wash your mind. And that's how we renew our minds. Amen? Okay. So I said earlier that when we observe a lie, we cover it with love. That's because love covers a multitude of sins. Just like, you know, the game rock, paper, scissors. What beats rock? Something hard and heavy that you think you can't move. Paper, right? It covers rock. Just like that can win over something hard like that. When his love covers it, it's like it's not there. And so if we're trying to force ourselves, like I said, to not believe that anymore, that's not love. We can cover it with love, and his truth is the opposite of lies, and that is love. So questions we can ask ourselves are, which beliefs of mine that we discovered are lies, and what loving truth can I use to cover them? All right, V, vow to stay open, okay? So that's in all your ways acknowledge him. That's the part of the verse I was going from for that one. So we need to keep listening, keep staying close to him, keep trusting him. A lot of times in our lives, we love to be distracted. We think, you know, oh, I'm stressed, so I'm going to watch TV for a while, or I'm going to go eat this thing that will make me feel better, or I'm just going to go out and, you know, be with other people or whatever. But how many of you know after we've done whatever that thing was, the problem's still there, right? It didn't disappear. It didn't go away. I just ignored it for a while. God wants us to stay connected. He wants us to stay connected to him. He wants us to keep our hearts open. And whenever we just distract ourselves, we're closed off, right? We've closed our hearts. We're not listening to him. It's a lot easier to stay closed off. It's a lot of work to look at our thoughts and emotions, isn't it? And it's not fun. It's messy. It's sticky. But am I really living if I'm not looking at those things, right? No, I'm just like vegging and letting the hours pass by. I will stagnate or stay where I am, if not regress backwards, by distracting myself and numbing my emotions. If I can't feel the lows in my life, I can't truly feel the highs either, right? When we numb ourselves, we don't feel the good or the bad, and we're not experiencing life. And so sometimes we don't feel safe for some reason or another. You know, like I said, we have fears, and so that little person inside of us is scared about something, and we hide behind self-protective behaviors. We think that they're keeping us safe, but they're keeping our lives small and limited. Like not letting people get too close, maybe, because we're afraid of rejection. So we just, you know, kind of keep people at a distance. Or we sabotage ourselves ahead of time with something that we think we might fail at. Or we don't even try it, right? Because we're like, I don't know if I could do that. I might fail at that, so I'm just not going to try, right? We think we're keeping ourselves safe. Let's see. All right, here's the verse that I would like to share with you guys about that. Romans 8, 5, and 6 says, those who live according to their sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, right? We think, all right, I want to eat a whole bunch of chocolate because I'm stressed right now. Okay, I think that. I shouldn't say we. Self-admittance here. And then, so that's what my mind is set on, what my sinful nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So if I want to be truly living, I can't numb myself. I can't ignore what's going on inside. I need to have my mind set on what the Spirit desires, and that brings me to life and peace. And then when my mind is thinking about that, that's what I automatically follow. Isaiah 26:3 is one of my favorite verses. It says, God will keep me in perfect peace, the man whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Sorry. So when we trust in him, it keeps our minds at peace, right? We're like, okay, it's safe to come out of my shell and not do these self-protective behaviors because God holds my heart, right? That's what his scripture says. He wants us to let go of our unhealthy habits and choices that don't honor or support the true us that he has called us to be. But sometimes we've become so comfortable in those habits that they feel safe and they feel normal. So why would we want to break free from them? who does that sound like to you in your heart? Does that, vibe with you, I guess? It vibes with me. We don't feel like we're in bondage because we've gotten used to feeling this way. But how can we get out of the driveway and enjoy a beautiful journey of life if we're too scared to come out from behind those old things that we've been leaning on? So we can remind ourselves that God goes with us when we leave, and he is going to protect us and lead us. So the question we ask ourselves is, what's the healthier, more supportive of my end goal choice, and replace our other behaviors with it, right? Just saying, I'm not going to do that anymore isn't enough. We need to come up with something else, because our minds actually ignore negatives. So if I say, I am not going to eat any more chocolate tonight, my brain only heard the word chocolate. So it's thinking, I'm focusing on not eating chocolate, but my brain is thinking, chocolate, I heard chocolate somewhere in there, right? So our brains only hear the positive. So instead I need to say, tonight I am going to spend time with my kids downstairs and not worry about anything, right? I'm going to focus on something else. So how many of you know if I focus on not doing something, that's the very thing I want to keep doing, right? That's how our brains work. So we need to come up with a good replacement in our minds of that, whatever that habit was. So the question here, and by the way, for those of you that are physically here, on the back are these questions for you to take home and ask God in your quiet time. So for number three here, for vow to stay open, what actions of mine keep me from being present in my life, or, you know, I'm avoiding life and enjoying my life? And how can I replace those unhealthy habits? Because we want to be present. We want to be enjoying our lives. We don't want to be, you know, hiding out in our brains and in our hearts. All right, the last one I have on here is E. Engage my will to follow. So the part of Proverbs here is, he will direct our paths. So I start to do things out of a place of genuinely wanting to do what's best for myself and loving myself and taking care of my heart, not letting it, you know, get full of unforgiveness or avoiding the truth. And instead of, I should do this, I need to do this, and forcing ourselves, like I said, we get to the place of, I want to do what's best for me, because later I'll be happier, right? So God can help us get to that place. It says, I love this verse, because when I'm struggling with my actions not lining up with who I really am, I quote this to myself a lot. It's Proverbs 2:13. It says, God works in me to will and to do his good pleasure. So not only does he help me with the follow through, but he helps me get my heart to the place that I want to obey him, which I'm so grateful for, because that can be a strong inward struggle sometimes. And I don't know how non-Christians do it. You know, we have the Holy Spirit in there to help us, to guide us, to whisper to us, to encourage us to keep going on. God wants us to be active participants in our lives and in our choices, in our godliness. How can he say, follow me? Like Pastor Steve's message last week was about God, or us following God and doing what God is doing, talking to who God is talking to. How can we follow him if it's none of my will involved at all, right? Is he driving the car and I'm just, you know, chilling in the back? Where are we going, Jesus? No, he's a backseat driver, right? I'm at the wheel and he's telling me where to go to get to the destination I want, but it's still my choice if I'm going to turn the way he tells me I should probably turn, or if I'm not going to. And does he jump out of the car if I decide to turn left when he said right? No, he still stays with me. Thank you, Lord, that you stay with us. I love this. I was on a lady's blog, and I read this quote. I don't even remember her name, but I'm just going to read you her quote. She was talking about how people were telling her, you know, to say, you know, Jesus, just take over my life. You know, I made a mess of it, but he wants us to be engaged. She says, if I am merely a passenger on the road trip that is my life, my choices and thoughts and gifts have no bearing on the journey whatsoever. I mean, I would totally admit he's all-powerful and he knows best, and he would most definitely make better choices than I do, which means I should let him do all the driving, right? Except he gave me choices with my life. He lets me make mistakes. He gifted me with talents and abilities and personality traits, and I really get the feeling he wants me to use those in creative ways that are unique to me. If I'm just a passenger asleep on the highway while Jesus does all the work, why bother? Where's the adventure in that? I think maybe Jesus would prefer a little more participation on my part than just waking up every 50 miles to ask for a pit stop. So I loved that. She was just so real, and, you know, it was, you know, really resonated with me that I want to be participating in my life. And it's a journey when I get to do that. And God gave us the privilege to do that. In fact, he tells us to do that. 2 Peter 1, I'm going to read a couple verses here. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Right there, it's like, oh, yes, we can breathe a sigh of relief. But it says it's through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you might participate in the divine nature. That sounds like some active choices are involved, right? Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Okay, verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. So does that mean I'm perfect at the beginning? No, it means, okay, I have a little self-control today. Maybe tomorrow I'll have more. Or whatever the thing is that is your area. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord. So we know him for a reason, because we're meant to participate. in our lives. And it's interesting that the first one they list is faith. So if I'm growing, add to your faith this. That means that first I have to believe and to trust, right? That's the very first step. So that's where we should start our focus. But it says it's through our knowledge of Him. So how do we hear His voice? By getting close to Him, right? If He's in the back seat whispering to me, then I can hear Him. If He's close, we're able to hear and to follow. I was thinking about the story of Elijah, and I heard a little bit of a sermon from Stephen Furtick about this. But Elijah was hiding in the cave, right? And we talked about sometimes we hide from life. And what kind of things did God send at first? Who remembers some of the things, some of the natural things that were loud and powerful that God sent? There was an earthquake, strong winds, all kinds of loud, powerful things. And then what does Elijah hear? Yeah, he heard God whisper, "Elijah." And it sent chills down Elijah's spine. He was like, "Oh, that's God," you know. And then it says he came out to the mouth of the cave. If Elijah had stayed in there and hid from God, I don't think God would have been able to speak to him. We have to make that choice. Are we going to come out? Are we going to come close? Are we going to listen to what he wants to say? Are we going to trust that he, you know, Elijah could have been scared after all those, like, earth-shattering things that happened right before that. He's like, "No, I know I can trust God. He's talked to me before." And so he comes out, and God speaks to him with a whisper, because God was close enough for Elijah to hear his whisper. So we can be intentional about our choices and intentional about listening to him. Our journey will not be perfect. There is always going to be bumps, but that's living, right? Yes. It's kind of like a home. You can tell if it's lived in. It's messy, right? You got kids running around and stuff all over the place. This is a lived-in house, right? And so it's okay to let loose and just live and experience life with God. So the question here is, when I draw close to God, what is he leading me to do to reach that freedom and joy that I long for, right? He's not, you know, in the back seat demanding. He's not like an obnoxious backseat driver, you know, like how many of you have had one of those in your life here and there? I think, one of those when I was a kid, probably. But anyway, he is back there telling us how to get where we already told him we wanted to go, right? When we left the driveway, "Lord, I want to end up at this place of freedom over here." And so he's whispering, saying, "Oh, you should turn left right here. Oh, that says a detour. Maybe we should go this way. Or I think that has a roadblock. Let's go this way." And sometimes, how many of you know, we get frustrated at the process. We get impatient. Yeah. And so just to keep in mind that he's helping us get where we said we wanted to go. Sometimes when we pray something, you know, God's answering our prayer and we get frustrated. He's like, "I'm answering your prayer." So just to trust him and relax and know that he's taking us there, but he's still allowing us to make the choices. In Deuteronomy, it says, "The word is very near you." First of all, the word is who? Jesus. John 1:1 says that. "The word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it." So "may" means that we're capable. So if I want to be capable of obeying, I need to receive his word into my heart, but then I need to speak it. It says it's in your mouth, right? We need to remind ourselves. Then it says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses," right? So turn right or turn left. And it says, "Choose life so that you and your children may live, that you may," right? So that you're able to love the Lord your God, to listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. So we want to make the right choices. We just have to listen to God's leading, and he's going to show us the right direction. It says there's a voice behind you that whispers, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or the left. And I used to think that meant, oh, I turned to the left, I hope I chose right, and then listen and hear him say, this is the way. Or, you know, oh, I turned to the left, but when I was praying about it, God's like, no, not like you already turned, like you're turning and looking, should I go left or should I go right? And then he'll tell us which way to go. So, as a closing for Facebook Live, because we're going to do a little devotional time here in a second, I would just want to read some words to the song that I'm going to play. This song is called Sails. I don't know if you guys have heard it, but it pretty much encompasses what I was talking about today. So here are the lyrics. It says, falling is easy, but staying in love is hard. It's hard to be honest and keep your heart open to be who you truly are. Without the excuses, without the facade, there's no pretending here in your love. Oh, Lord, set me free. And then verse 2 says, I'm finally seeing you were here all along. Your love wasn't absent. No, it doesn't come or go. The image I've had in our minds is starting to fail. You're patient with me, lifting the veil so we can see. Oh, Lord, set me free. And then on the version I have, it doesn't have this, but there's like a free singing part, and the her name is Stephanie Helsinger. She sings, I've spent so many years stuck in my head, couldn't see past myself. All this time, you were right here in front of me, part of me, inside of me, and patiently you spoke to me, and you set me free. So naturally, I'm living from my heart. This is just the beginning of a new way of living with you. And I just want to read you guys one thing real quick from my journal, and then we're going to do a time together. But like I said, this is like a personal journey for me. God's really been showing me these four things. And just some reflections here in my journal about it. It says, thank you so much, Lord, for where you've brought me in our walk together and where I'm at right now. You have me in a place where I'm living from my heart, from my core. The real me is in the driver's seat again, instead of there being no one driving. I had set myself on autopilot. I mean, if you know, sometimes we do that. I had deceived myself into thinking I wasn't living intentionally, and I was just giving the wheel to you and letting you drive. But really, you're allowing me to make the choices. If I decide I want to go where you direct, you will tell me how to get there and what turns to make. But if I choose to go my own way, you're still with me. Though I might not end up at the destination I had desired, or when I try to figure it out on my own. Thank you that you've led me to intentional living. Instead of going the old route I knew too well, you're helping me find a new, better one and making that on automatic. I'm living from to keep my heart open and living from my true self and abandoning the old mindless autopilot living. It also makes me more vulnerable. I feel more sensitive to your voice, but also more sensitive to hurt. How many of you know that's usually what we're afraid of coming out? I feel exposed. I had felt safe in my shell, and it felt safer to sit in the driveway and go nowhere. But now that I'm out, enjoying life more fully, I don't ever want to go back. I don't want to take up anger to push people away so they can't hurt me. I want to keep my heart open so I can fully receive their love, but also be open, if they hurt me, to lovingly share their offense and not close myself off or hurt them back. Help me, Lord, keep my heart open no matter what fearful thoughts jump up. And despite my vulnerability, you guard my heart and my mind. If I surrender to you and if I surrender to actually living, help me keep my heart open and handle anything that tries to cause me to shut back down. Jesus' name. So that was my prayer. So ask God the questions and keep your heart open. Okay, and then we're going to move the computer back there, and we're going to play a song together here. The song that I read you the lyrics to. Thank you for being patient with the technology stuff. But the questions on the back of your heart is something you should do, like, when you have more time at home, and you can really just ask God, you know, what do I really believe? But this morning with the song, I just want you to start the process of opening your heart to God and just letting down your guard and just spend some time with Him, trying to really hear from Him and focusing on just keeping your heart open. And so we're going to end with this song.
Pretend hearing your love, oh Lord, set me free. Oh Lord, set me finally see
So what a powerful message from Pastor Steph this morning. Let's just close in prayer and ask God to make those things real in our lives this week. So Father God, we thank you that truth comes and dispels lies. And those lies that maybe we've chosen to believe, let's get those expelled this week. Let's get them out of our lives. Jesus, you're the way, the truth, and the life. So come, and for each one this week, bring truth. Bring truth. And we thank you for your great love for us, that if we allow it to, it will expel fear. It will cast fear out. And as Pastor Steph taught us, it will cover and just push out and overpower lies. So come this week and continue to do the powerful work that you started in our hearts today. Thank you that your word tells us you started the work and you'll complete the work. So we choose, it's our choice. We choose to allow you to complete that work that you started. And we're grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen.